chapter 1, starting in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. Would you pray with me? Emmanuel, God is with us. As we turn to your word in these moments, God who is here, would you open our ears to hear you? God who is here, would you open our hearts to receive you? The God who is here, would you move our hands and our feet and our mouths to follow and proclaim you? This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It wasn't supposed to happen this way. Have you ever said that? One of my favorite things to see pop up online are those Pinterest fail pictures. You know what I'm talking about? I especially appreciate these because if you know me at all, you know that I am perhaps the least crafty person in the world. And these little pictures make me feel at least a little bit better about myself. What they are is a bunch of pictures out there where people have set out with this great vision to try to imitate what they saw on Pinterest, only to end up saying it wasn't supposed to happen this way. Some examples up here of eggs spread everywhere, shark cupcakes become disaster zone. There's more. The scariest Cookie Monster cupcakes you ever saw. Pictures with kids that never work. And the zombie nails and the scary penguin on a cupcake. These are called Pinterest fails. They are people who set out to do something and end up saying it wasn't supposed to happen this way. Being a lover of the outdoors, I could tell you numerous tales of days that I set out with this ideal hike in mind. I had these visions of sunshine and of these great summits, only to lock my keys in the car on isolated trailheads and wait 4 hours for Subaru roadside assistance, or to run into 5 feet of snow wearing only shorts and a t-shirt and sandals, or to be 5 miles in and the downpour starts. You've all been in that one. Those times that I took the wrong Y in the trail and I did many more miles than I had planned on doing, or the time I did that and ended up in snow up to my shoulders, wondering how I was going to get out of this alive. Many times on the trail, I've heard myself say, "Huh, that wasn't supposed to happen this way. What now?" You've said it too, haven't you? There are the bigger disappointments in life, the big ones. My second year here, I was still adjusting to life in this new place and in this new role, far from family, far from lifelong friends. And in a 4-month period, in the beginning of that second year, I lost 2 people who meant the world to me and to you too, Sue Clem and Steve Emmerich. They were both some of the very first ones when I set foot in Belfair to reach out to me here, not just as a pastor, but as a friend. I had been in both of their homes numerous times. I was invited into life with both of their families. Both of them were bright lights in this place in what was a very, very hard season. And it felt like just as soon as I felt like I had come to love them and them me, they were gone. And I remember at Steve's funeral, I got through the service, and right after, I sat right there on that front pew, and I just couldn't hold it in any longer, and I just sat there, and I began to sob. I was just so disappointed that God had let another bright light leave this place. One that I felt I desperately needed to be here. In my heart, I was saying it wasn't supposed to be this way. Watching my dad give around-the-clock care for my disabled stepmom, a massive stroke 7 years ago changed both of their lives for good. Our family knows disappointment. We know what it means to say it wasn't supposed to be this way. When I was young, I had dreams for my life, and they assumed that when I was 35, I'd be married and have all these kids running around the house. And there are times I find myself sitting in an empty house thinking to myself, it wasn't supposed to be this way. I'm not the only one, right? There are things in all of our lives that we look at every day and say to ourselves, it wasn't supposed to be this way. Be it a failed marriage or marriages, adult children who don't talk to you, a pink slip, that phone call that says, you know, we've chosen to go with somebody else, more debt than you know what to do with, a diagnosis, a premature death of a loved one, a dream that never was, an addiction, a job that takes all your time and energy and gives no sense of fulfillment in return, infertility, wealthy but so, so lonely, a failed class, a dropped program, a car in the shop, abuse, disappointment finds us all. We've all said it. Many of us, maybe in the last 24 hours, it wasn't supposed to be this way. But there is good news, my friends. This is the season that we remember and proclaim the light has come into all the world and into all places, yes, even into those places where our greatest disappointments reside. The light has come. It's supposed to be one of the most exciting seasons in life, the engagement. You get to tell the whole world about the one you love with all your heart. It's the season for butterflies in your stomach and for these mushy Facebook posts on each other's walls. You don't care who sees it. For everyone to forgive you for having your head in the clouds. They get it. Oh, he's just in love. He'll come back around. It's the season for showers and gifts galore and notes of congratulations. It's the season for dreams as you plan your life together. As you imagine the places you might go and the things you might see and the ways you might raise your family and how you want to get to set up your home. It's that season when the canvas is blank and the possibilities are endless. It's a special season, the season of being engaged. What's a man to do when he's right in the middle of dreaming about what could be and the news comes? She's pregnant, and the baby's not exactly yours. This is what you might call disappointment with a capital D. This is one of those it wasn't supposed to be this way scenarios. And this is the story of how our God came to us. The light breaks into disappointment. A heart broken, plans dashed, dreams tossed out, confusion, rejection, anger. Joseph makes a plan. He's going to just quietly dismiss Mary, not to draw any greater attention to either one of them. He's going to try to cut ties and patch his life back together. Perhaps one day with someone else, if he can ever manage to trust again. But just as he's trying to plan some way to make it through this great disappointment, the angel of the Lord comes to Joseph in a dream. Joseph, son of David, that means I know you, and I know my God's promises to you. Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. The child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll bear a son, name him Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. The light has come into Joseph's deepest disappointment. The light comes into ours just the same. Don't believe me? Aren't quite convinced that these few verses about Joseph's disappointment give much promise at all about your own letdowns in life? That's okay. There's more. Let's ask Abraham and Sarah what they think. You know, they're that couple who had no children, and not for lack of trying. In fact, they had tried hard. God gave Abraham this great vision of being the father of all nations, of having more people in his line than there are stars in the sky. That is literally the best news ever for a Hebrew man. American men may say, no way, no thanks. Too much commitment there. Not a Hebrew man. He liked that. But with these great hopes come this one tiny and no way insignificant problem. Abraham and Sarah couldn't conceive. They couldn't even have one kid. And God made him think that he was going to have tons. Abraham, Sarah, they knew all about rising hopes cut off. There were nights that they'd go to bed in this house that was much too quiet. And you can bet they said to one another, it wasn't supposed to be this way. They knew disappointment. One day, when they'd all but quit talking about it, one day when she was 90 and he was 100, they all but thought they were preparing for nothing less than the end, only to have three strangers come to their tent. And after talking about the weather and the football game and how perfect the roles were, they said, oh, by the way, old Abe, Sarah's pregnant. All your disappointment, it's been for nothing. This was God's plan all along. To make good on his promise to start this new life with you right here and right now. If Abraham and Sarah got a say, I think they'd say that the light comes into all of your disappointments. In fact, they might say those might be the very places that God is stirring up new life in you, a new beginning for you. He's done it before. Why not again with you? Let's ask the other Joseph what he thinks about disappointment. You know, the one of Genesis fame. This is the Joseph who had dreams, literally, of what his life was going to amount to. Dreams of power and dreams of fame. Only to go out eagerly and share these with his brothers and find himself thrown in a pit and sold into slavery, and later locked up in the king's prison in the deepest dungeon of all. That Joseph knew disappointment. Surely he said more than once, it wasn't supposed to be this way. And from his deepest, most frustrating place, it turned out he was actually in just the right place to wow the king and to live into that dream he had so long ago. For Joseph in Genesis, the light came directly into his disappointment. He's the one who said those very famous words, "What you all meant for evil, my God meant for good. What you meant to keep me down, God meant to use me for his kingdom to come." The God who enters the bad news and makes it the very best news. The light has come into all of our disappointments. Those just might be the places that God is waiting to unveil the very best news for you too. He's done it before. Why not again? Why not with you? The stories go on. The people of Israel are finally set free from slavery in Egypt, and it is a good day. Their prayers have been answered. Their dreams have come true until evening comes, and their bellies start to growl, and there is no food in sight. Now, you can bet that for years, parents had told their children bedtime stories about all the great things they were going to do when they were free, about how they would sleep in on Saturdays, and they would feast together on Sundays, and they'd play tag in the front yard until their legs could play tag no more. And here they are, their first days as free people, all of these dreams in their back pocket without a bite of food in sight. Hopes dashed. And if you listen, you can hear them mutter, "I knew this was too good to be true. It wasn't supposed to be this way. Disappointment galore." And one night, they went to bed hungry, let down. And the next morning, they opened their tents to see some flaky-looking sweet stuff covering the ground. It was called manna, food from heaven. Their God had provided, and they got to see his work firsthand. They got to eat the food that God had made just for them somewhere in his heavenly kitchen. How cool is that? Just like that, what they thought was the worst thing became grounds for one of the biggest miracles this world has ever known. Just like that, they saw that our disappointments are only invitations for God to do something we never even imagined asking our God to do. The light has come into all of our disappointments. In fact, that could be the very place in your life where God wants to show you something you never imagined even asking him to do. He's done it before. Why not again? Why not with you? Fast forward to the New Testament. Those first apostles who tried to carry on the work of Jesus. His last words to them before he ascended into heaven were to go to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth to share the good news. And in the book of Acts, 8 chapters later, they're still hanging out in Jerusalem. Stephen stands up for Jesus and he is stoned to death. And these guys who were excited about carrying on the torch get just a little bit afraid. They had watched Jesus go into heaven. They had heard him say, "I will be with you always." They were sure that this was going to be a really fun ride, carrying on the mission of their resurrected king. And then just like that, one of their own dies, and it is a brutal death. And if you listen closely, you can hear those first apostles saying, gee, it wasn't supposed to be this way. And in fear, they scatter. In disappointment, they leave the city that's become their home. And guess where they go? Any ideas? Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. Their disappointment was the very thing that shook them up enough to get them moving, to disrupt their comfort and get them on mission so all the earth might know the Lord. Disappointment, it was not the thing that hindered their call. It was the very thing they needed to unleash it. The light has come into all of our disappointments. That could be where God's got a special mission just for you. He's done it before. Why not again? Why not in you? In Acts chapter 16, some missionaries are disappointed that they can't go into Bithynia. That was their plan. That's where they want to share the gospel. But that door closes on them. And just as soon as it closes, even while they're still asking each other, why, God, is everything so hard? It wasn't supposed to go this way. While they're still mid-sentence, another door opens. Lydia of Thyatira hears about Jesus through them and believes. And she becomes the first Christian in all of Europe. What they thought was disappointment was simply God's something bigger and better in mind. It was simply God saying, hold up, hold up, not Bithynia. Just wait till you see this. It was in a prison cell where Paul surely had some days that he was thinking, really? Is this the best you've got for me, God? That Paul had some extra time on his hands in a prison cell. It was in that space that he was inspired to start writing some letters. Why not? You know these letters. They're called Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and Philemon. Have you heard of them? Maybe because billions of people all over the world are reading them every single week, 2,000 years later. Can't you just hear Paul? God, this prison stuff is such a disappointment. I had bigger things in mind when I set out to follow you. God, it wasn't supposed to be this way. And God's whisper back, oh, my son, you have no idea. It was supposed to be this way. It is so much bigger than you know. What you label disappointment, I have called room to be a legacy, and I am not one to mislabel. The light has come into all of our places of disappointment. It might be in your life that the very thing making you shake your fist at God this week might just be God's hands extended back to you, saying, hold on, my child. This isn't me letting you down. This is me picking you up, up higher than you ever thought you would be. This is good news, you guys. The light comes into our disappointments, and every single time it changes the story for good. What Joseph thought was the worst news, the crisis that changed the nice little future that he had planned for him and Mary, it became the dream bigger than anything he had ever known to dream about before. It became his partnership with the living God and his everlasting kingdom coming to earth. In all of our disappointments, the truth this Christmas is the light of Jesus has come, and it still comes. And so as a people who walk by faith, we have a choice. We have a choice in relation to our hearts. Our disappointments can make us hard. or they can make us humble. They remind us all that however good of a face we put on, we don't actually have all of our ducks in a row. And we're not ultimately calling the shots on how things go. And so we can get mad about that. And we can never risk loving or living again. Or we can find peace in the God who does have his ducks in a row, who is calling the shots, who does actually hold us in the palm of his hand. And trusting in him with humble hearts, we can walk in gratitude and grace, even in our disappointments. This Christmas, my prayer for you is that your disappointments might make your heart humble, not hard. Who has time for that? And all of our disappointments, the truth this Christmas is that the light of Jesus has come, and he still comes. And so we, Jesus followers, have a choice in relationship to our life with God. Our disappointments can shut down our dreaming with him, or they can stir up our imaginations. We can say about all future invitations to follow God into new places, into new things, yep, tried that once. It was a fail. Not putting my heart out there again. And with that, the enemy has successfully shut down any threat our lives ever were. Or we can say, yeah, I tried some stuff for God once, and to be honest, it left me with some heartache. But I know that my God's heart is for me to know him and join him. So it all just must mean that he's got bigger, better dreams even still. And I'm all up for dreaming with my God. Disappointments infused with the light of Jesus take our imaginations to places they've never been. Places that look like manna, and a 90-year-old woman giving birth, and a whole new continent knowing Jesus Christ, and a God coming to be with us. This Christmas season, my prayer for each of you is that in your disappointments, that you might not shut down your dreaming with God, but that instead they might stir up your imagination. That you might use those to begin entertaining new thoughts of what our good God might have for you even still. Because he's got something good even still. And all of our disappointments, the truth this Christmas is the light of Jesus has come, and he still comes. And so we have a choice in front of other people. We can throw a tantrum, or we can testify. And you see, people learn a whole lot about who you are when they see you struggle. When things don't go your way. When disappointment sets in, you can join the chorus of this world, kicking and screaming and moaning and saying, it's just not fair. We all know how to tantrum, don't we? Heck, even one-year-olds know how. It's not that hard. You don't get a medal for a really good tantrum. And when the world sees it, all they say is, well, welcome to the club. You're just like the rest of us. Come on in. Water's nice. Or, in disappointments, children of the living God, the world just might get to see us testify. Testify to a God who even still we know is good, is love, is for us, is with us. A God who even now is shining his light upon us. When the world sees a disappointment turned into a testimony, a mess turned into a message, they take note. They can't help it. And they say, you're not like us. How do I get this joy that you've got? And just like that, your greatest biggest letdown becomes your greatest invitation. Just when you thought you were out of the game, you're in the game like you've never been in the game before. This Christmas, may your disappointments lead you not to tantrum, but to testify to a God who has always had this crazy thing for shining his light in the places we expect it least of all. Testify to a God who made Joseph's worst nightmare the dream come true that would save us all. This Christmas, may your moaning be transformed into testimony of this great God. It is always a choice. And may your disappointments become just the soil our God needs to stir up some new life and a brand new beginning in you. He's done it before. So many times before. Why not again? Why not with you? Why not? Would you pray with me? Oh, God, you're so good. Oh, man, all of us have something heavy on our heart today because we're humans and life is hard. We all have something today that we can say that's not how it was supposed to be. And yet, rather than be all consumed by that thing, we take one step back. And we lift our eyes to heaven. And we see seated at your right hand, Jesus Christ, who left that place in heaven to come and be born among us. To enter into a story that started out looking like disappointment and to make it the greatest story of all. And we see that Jesus, who lived and died and rose again and ascended into heaven, and there he is. And our eyes say, yeah, there are some things not as they were supposed to be. But boy, that is exactly what was meant to be. And because Jesus came to be with us, and because he's coming again, we have reason to hope. Yes, even rejoice in those hard places today. In those places where we feel like you've let us down, would you give us a better imagination than that? In those places that we've shaken our fist at you, would you open our eyes to see your hand stretched out, only wanting to embrace us and lift us up to something new? God, our hearts and our minds are just too small sometimes. Would you show us that your good news is all around us, even, especially in our disappointments? This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.